And great to see you, and I'm glad to be here tonight to take you to the Bible to read about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did when he was here. That's the second last hymn we were singing. I must admit I didn't know it, but I enjoyed the words. Listen to this: he healed the sick and restored the blind and cheered the heart that in sorrow pined. I'm going to read about some of these things tonight from Luke's Gospel. So if you have your Bible there, turn to Luke chapter 5. And if you don't have your Bible, then that's fine. I'll try and read it as clearly and as slowly as I can so that you get the message. Because actually what the Bible says is more important than what I've got to say. So let's read God's Word. Luke chapter 5 from verse number 1. We won't read all the chapter. We'll read down to about verse 26. There are three different stories in this part of the Gospel. So here's Luke 5 at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, better known as the lake of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And that's the end of the first story in this chapter. The story about a boat and fish and fishermen, and about Simon Peter and the huge change that came over him. We'll come back and think about that. So let's read on to the next one, beginning at verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So you see, we've now moved on to a third story. First one was about a boat and fish and fishermen. Second one was about a man full of leprosy that the Lord healed. Now what's the third one? Verse 18. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought by means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. That's all we'll read, and we're sure God will bless his word. So we've read three different stories. That the main picture of them is that the Lord Jesus was the main person in them. But along with the Lord Jesus, we read about three different kinds of people. First of all, he was a fisherman. But I don't want to focus tonight so much on the fact that he was a fisherman. I want to notice what he confessed about himself. He said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He was a man who, well, he was good at catching fish, at least he thought he was. But his biggest need wasn't really for a boat full of fish. His biggest need was for his sins to be forgiven. So there's a lesson there already for us all. I don't know what you think is your biggest need in life, but the Bible says that for us all, our biggest problem is our sin. And our biggest need in life is to have our sins forgiven. So that's our first story about a sinful man. Then we read about a diseased man. He had leprosy. I don't think anybody here has leprosy. Even if you did, there's a cure for it nowadays. But there wasn't in those days. To have leprosy was pretty much a death sentence. A long, slow deterioration, accompanied by severe disfigurement, accompanied by isolation, because it was so infectious, so contagious, that nobody dared touch a leper or they'd get it. And yet the marvelous thing about this story is that along came Jesus, and he actually touched this leper, and he didn't get leprosy. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He was special. Sure, you know he's special. That's why we're speaking about him tonight. The Lord Jesus was so special that not only could he help a sinful man like Simon Peter, but he could heal a diseased man like this leper. Unfortunately, we don't know his name, but we'll just need to call him this diseased man, this leper. And there was a huge change came over him. He was cleansed, it says. He was made clean. And this, I want to show you, brings out another lesson for us all. Because although I'm pretty sure none of us has leprosy, all of us do have something that needs to be cleaned up. Many people's lives are in a mess, and they know only too well that their lives need to be cleaned up. But even though we're respectable before others, I'm giving you the credit of being that, and you give me the credit of being that, even though we're respectable people, the big thing is there's still something that needs to be cleaned up in our lives. And it's this thing called sin. Leprosy is very like sin in a number of ways that we'll look at shortly. And then there's the third story. The third story is not about a sinful fisherman. It's not about a leper who was shut out from society. It's about a helpless man. A man who couldn't walk. He says the Bible had palsy. Our modern word for that would be he was paralyzed. And he had to be carried. Nowadays it would be a wheelchair job, but in those days it was a stretcher job. And this man, to the credit of his friends, had four friends who looked after him. And four of these friends took a corner each of his stretcher and brought him along to where Jesus was, in a house which was packed with people. They knew that the Lord Jesus could cure the man, but they had a problem. There were so many obstacles in the way. They couldn't get the man in to where Jesus was. However, they were not only inventive, and you might even say destructive, but they were resourceful, and they thought, I know a way we can do it. I don't know whose idea it was, but at least one of the four, maybe two of the four, maybe all of the four thought, I know how we can do it. And in those days, they lived in houses quite unlike ours. You wouldn't take kindly if somebody went on your roof and started pulling the panels apart to make a hole to let somebody down into the room underneath, but that's what they did. Because in those countries, the roofs are really quite flimsy affairs. They didn't get much rainfall. The main purpose of the roof was to shade from the sun. So they went up on the roof. Must have been easy to access. They didn't need a ladder. They got up on the roof. And they pushed the tiling back. Probably thatch tiling, I don't know. But the point is, they managed to get this man up on the roof. They managed to make a hole in the roof. And then, presumably with ropes, which are not described, they lowered him right down to where Jesus was. They were not going to let any obstacle stop this man from getting a blessing. And when Jesus saw their faith, because they had faith, they had trust, they knew that the Lord Jesus could do what they couldn't do. They could bring the man along, but they couldn't cure the man, but they knew that Jesus could. And so they lowered him down right in front of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, well, didn't say, I'll make you better immediately. He said to the man, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the people there were totally gobsmacked. They said, what on earth is this? This man is, didn't say he's speaking rubbish, but they inferred that he was saying something he shouldn't say. They said he's speaking blasphemies because only God can forgive sins. Of course, that's true. But what these people didn't realize is something that we need to realize and believe and be sure about, that the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was God, is God, was the Son of God. And so he had every right and authority to forgive sins. And so this third person, whose problem appeared to be that he was paralyzed, he too had a bigger problem that the Lord Jesus diagnosed immediately, and he says, son, man, your sins are forgiven you. And that story had a happy ending as well, because as well as telling the man that his sins were forgiven, he also told him, take up your couch and walk home, which he did. So, three interesting stories, which briefly I want to draw your attention to and get a lesson from for all of us tonight. None of us here is exactly like Simon Peter. None of us here is exactly like the leper. None of us here is exactly like this paralyzed man who needed four friends to carry him. But all of us here are like all three people in one particular way. It illustrates what the Bible says. The Bible says, and you know this verse, don't you? Everyone, all have sinned and come short of God's glorious standard. Peter had, the leper had, the other man had, and so have you, and so have I. So a big concern tonight is to look at these three stories and see how they tell us that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be made right with God, and there's only one person who can do it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. One more thing about the three of these stories before we look at one or two other points about them. I don't know if you noticed or not, but three times in the chapter, one for each of the three stories, the word fool was used, F-U-L-L, or filled, which means the same. The first story centered on a ship that was full of fishes. The second story was about a man who was full of leprosy. And the third story finished up with people who were filled with fear, filled with awe and wonder at what had happened. So when we think about things that are full, you say, well, that's unusual. That must be an extreme case. And so it is. These were extreme cases. Which enables me to tell you, my friend, that even if you feel your case is an extreme one, out of the ordinary, not run-of-the-mill, if you feel your situation in life is a big one, an extreme one, that maybe you are wondering if God can do anything about, do not despair, because God can deal with every situation, no matter how extreme we think it might be. Well, let's take another wee look at these three stories. The first one about Peter and his boat. You notice that the Lord Jesus has actually used Peter's boat as a preaching point. He didn't have a pulpit like this to stand on. He was teaching in the open air around the Lake of Galilee, and the people were pressing close to him to hear him round the shoreline. And the Lord, of course, saw this empty boat, and he asked Peter if he could use his boat to just sit in a little distance away from the shore, and there he taught the people, and so he did. I'd love to know what he taught them, but it's not recorded in the Bible. His words were beautiful words. His words were words of life, not just good advice. His words were straight from God, straight to the human heart. But now, after he's finished speaking, he acknowledges Peter's kindness in giving him the use of his boat. He says, Peter, take your boat and go out and let down your nets for some fish. And Peter, who was sometimes in the Bible or in popular literature, he's called the big fisherman. Peter was a skillful fisherman. And when the Lord says, look, take your boat out and let your net down for fish, Peter says, well, now, Master, we've been at it all night. That's when we usually do our fishing. But even during the night when the fish are usually there to catch, we actually caught nothing. He's kind of saying, don't think it'll work. He's kind of saying, we've been it our way, but it didn't work. But then he thought better about it, and he says to the Lord, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so they did. Simon Peter, and probably, it doesn't say it here, but probably Andrew, his brother, was with him, because we know they were partners on the ship. Out they went, let down the net. And when they did you notice what it says? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they called to the other ones on the other ship, who were James and John, we read, to come and help them. And they filled both the ships with the haul of fish, until it says the ships began to sink. So in this interesting story, you have both the dream of a fisherman and the nightmare of a fisherman. You see, big fishermen, not the ones with angling lines, you know, that's playing at it, but real fishermen who do it for a living, they dream about huge hauls of fish coming into their boat, and there was their dream fulfilled. They didn't think it would work, but lo and behold, it worked. Beyond their imagination, their dream was fulfilled. But then the fisherman's nightmare is when the boat begins to sink, and so it quickly turned to a nightmare, and the boat was beginning to sink. But anyway, somehow or other, they got the boat to land. Because of the grace and kindness and recompense of the Lord Jesus Christ, he filled the boats with fish. And then big surprise is when they got the boat to land full of fish, they walked away and left it. What on earth has happened? Simon Peter was changed by this. Did you notice? When Peter saw this huge haul of fish filling not one boat but two, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me. He's saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I doubted your word at the beginning. I've seen it all happening. I'm just so unworthy. I'm a sinful man. Leave me. Go away from me. Says, because he said that, because he was astonished at all the fish he'd taken. So did the Lord leave Peter? No, he didn't. See, the Lord never leaves anybody who admit that they're sinful and that they need salvation. That's the very thing that the Lord wants people to know, that they are sinful and they do need salvation. So the Lord doesn't go away from Peter, and Peter doesn't go away from the Lord. He says, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And the Lord said, Peter, don't be afraid, because you're going to be changed. You're going to, and I quote, catch men. Now what does that mean? He'd been catching fish, that's what he was good at. The Lord says, you'll catch men. Now this is a metaphor. If you read another record of this in another gospel, the Lord said to Peter, I'm going to change you from being a fisher of fish to be a fisher of men. And maybe as a child you sang the song, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. You see, what the Lord was telling Peter was, Peter, I'm going to change you. You acknowledge you're sinful, you're unworthy, you know that, and I know that too, but look, I can change you. You're convicted about your sinfulness. My generosity, my kindness has overwhelmed you. And so it should. But now that you've recognized that, now that you've seen that you are a needy sinner and you need salvation, you're going to be changed from being a sinful man to being a follower of Christ, to being someone who will so follow Christ that you will tell others about me and bring others to know me. You'll fish them into the net of the gospel. So the lesson from our first story is, as far as you and me are concerned, that we are unworthy sinners. But when we think about the overwhelming generosity of Christ, when we think about the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us and will do for us, does it not mean you want to follow him? Does it not make you want to leave behind a sinful life and trust in Christ to be your own personal Saviour? This first story is a story of emptiness. Empty nets, empty boats, that was verse 5, which were filled full by the grace and goodness of Christ. It was really a problem of nothing, which became everything. A problem of fruitless toil that somehow became productive. How? Through a meeting with Christ. And each one of us needs to meet Christ. No, we won't meet him personally like Peter and John and the others did because he's not on this earth anymore. But we can meet him spiritually. He wants you to do that. Remember how he said when he was here, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ wants to meet you where you are. He wants you to come to him as you are, recognizing that you have an emptiness in your life. Recognizing that there's something there that shouldn't be there, your sin, and he wants to take it away. If you trust him to do that, he will. And like Simon Peter, you'll be a man or a woman changed, and changed for the better. Let's look quickly to this second story, because here it's not a story of nothing, not a problem of nothing there, it's rather a problem of something that was there that they would rather wasn't there. In Peter's case, it was nothing there, and it would be better if something was there and something was put there. In the second story, it's a problem of something there that they wished wasn't there. Nobody wanted to have leprosy. It was such a horrible disease. But this story shows that the Lord Jesus can deal with all our baggage, as they sometimes call it nowadays, with all the things that are in our lives that we wish weren't there. And leprosy, as I said already, is in a way a picture of sinfulness. Leprosy was a dangerous disease. It was a defiling disease. It disfigured people. It defeated them in the end. That's what sin does. Sin is dangerous. Some people play with it. And you know, old brother, you can't play with fire and not get your fingers burned. And many a person tonight out in the streets of Methil, and along the streets of St. Moran's, and throughout the wide country of Scotland, and throughout the wide world, many a person is playing with sin, and they're getting their fingers burned very severely. Sin is dangerous. Sin is defiling. It defiles an individual in the mind, thinking wicked thoughts, thinking dirty thoughts. Sin is defiling to others. When you come in contact with others, it spreads. And contagious, infectious, like leprosy was. An awful thing. Sin is destructive. Destroys individuals. Destroys marriages. Destroys homes, destroys families, destroys communities. Sin does that. And sin is defeating. Sin defeats people because we are not able to get rid of it ourselves. But the big story of the gospel is, do not despair, because the Lord Jesus Christ can deal even with people who are, well, not full of leprosy, but full of sin. No matter how sinful, the Lord Jesus can say, I will make you clean. There's a man in the Bible who called himself the chief of sinners. He felt that he was so full of sin, but the Lord Jesus saved him. His name was Paul the Apostle. And he says, as the chief of sinners, I can tell you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he can save you. And that's my message to you tonight. He can save you. How? Just by doing what the leper did. The Lord Jesus says, put out his hand and touched him. There was contact. And he said to him, I will. You're clean. And the leper didn't say, don't feel it. The leper didn't say, can't see it yet. The leper didn't say, are you sure? He didn't say a thing. He just did what the Lord told him. And the Lord did tell him to go and undergo a particular inspection, which was the way of things in those days, go to the priests, because they were the kind of qualified medics that would say what was right and what was wrong. And this man took the Lord at his word, trusted what the Lord Jesus said, and did what the Lord Jesus asked. And if you've got a problem of something in your life, if it's that big something called sin, then be sure that you too can be rid of that problem. You too can be changed. You can be cleansed, cleaned from the inside out. Some people try to clean from the outside in, and that doesn't really work very well. But the Lord Jesus cleans people from the inside out. Here's a lovely verse from the Bible. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not from some sins, from all sin. Even though this man was full of leprosy, and even though we may feel full of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, that really stands for his death on the cross, is effective to cleanse us from all our sin by us putting our trust in him. The third story, and I'm nearly finished, is different again. The first one is about emptiness filled. Second one was about disease cured. Third one is about obstacles being removed. First story was about nothing, a big problem of nothing. Second one was this problem about something. The third one was a problem about everything against this man coming to Jesus. I went over it already. You remember, I'm sure, this man was paralyzed. He couldn't get there himself. But he had four friends, and they helped. Thank God for friends who are willing to help you to get to Christ. But then even the four friends couldn't do it. There was something against them as well. There were a lot of people there. So many people. The Lord at this stage was so popular that people were crowding to hear him, crowding around him, so that you had to really squeeze to get in. And while an individual might wriggle through a crowd, I defy anybody to wriggle through a crowd with a stretcher and four people carrying it. No, won't work. So it looked as if everything was against him. Obstacles were multiplying. But you know the wee proverb that says, where there's a will, there's a way. And these people had a will, and they found a way. And before we go on with the story, can I just say this? You will find obstacles in preventing you from coming to Christ. It may be your colleagues, it may be your friends, it may even be your family, it may even be your past, it may be your habits. There could be many obstacles keeping you as a person away from Christ. But where there's a will, there's a way. If you want to get to Christ, you'll get there. And if you want to get to Christ, he won't keep you out. You know what he says? Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so back to our story. The man with the stretcher and the man got up on the roof. And the very tiles were on them, so they'll need to move them around. and I suppose the stairs up to the roof were an obstacle that they climbed these. And maybe they went around for ropes to let the man down, but they did it. And at last all the obstacles were removed, and this helpless man found himself in front of Jesus. The Lord Jesus didn't appear to be in the least bit surprised. No evidence of surprise whatever. I don't know what the crowd thought, but the Lord just looked at the man who suddenly arrived through the roof and said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And you would blink and say, "But that's not the point. This man's here to be cured of his palsy." You see, the Lord Jesus saw deeper than the man's outward appearance. He saw he needed more than strength to his legs. He saw that in this man's heart, like in all the others I've talked about, and like in you and me, there was something bigger and worse than palsy. It was sinfulness. And the Lord always puts first things first. He deals with the most important matters first. And so he says to this man, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." But of course the onlookers, they weren't very pleased about this, especially those religious people. And they said, "This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Well, as I pointed out already, in a sense they were right, but they didn't recognize that Jesus was God, and he could forgive sins, and he did forgive sins. And so the Lord addresses them and says this. He's really saying, words are easy to say, and it's just as easy to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," as it is to say, "Rise up and walk." But the big thing is, if you say it, will it happen? I mean, you and I could say anything, but whether it comes to pass or not depends on what we say and who we are. And the Lord Jesus says, "It's just as easy for me to say the one as to say the other." But he then said, "So that you will know that what I have said is real, I'm going to say something else to this man, which will be evident that it works." You see, they couldn't see into the man's heart to see whether his sins were forgiven or not. He knew, and Jesus knew, but they didn't. But the Lord would then say to the man, "Arise, take up your couch and walk away home." And when he did that, then these critics would realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that his word meant what it said, meant what he said. And his word was powerful. And they would see that this man was not only walking home cured of his paralysis, he was walking home forgiven of his sins. So our first story is about this helpless man who needed salvation, who was healed by the word of Christ. And finally, what happened to these three men after these stories are over? Number one, Peter became a follower of Christ and a fisher of men. The man with the leprosy became a witness for Christ because he was going along to these priests who had never seen many lepers cleansed. But says the Lord, "You go to the priests and do what's ordained in the law for a testimony to them." The people in that law court, in that priesthood, would see evidence of something special. And the third man became a worshipper of God. Did you notice that he went to his house glorifying God? In other words, you might say he sang all the way home, praising and worshipping God. And it was infectious, because everybody who looked on was amazed. And they glorified God, they worshipped God as well. And they were filled with fear, not so much with terror, not so much afraid of things, but in awe of things. Sometimes nowadays we use the words, "It's awesome." Very often that word's kind of worn thin because it didn't apply, but this was truly awesome. They were filled with awe and reverence and worship, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Well, I don't know if you've seen strange things tonight. or if you've heard strange things tonight, but let me assure you, these are not things that I made up. These are not things that I would want to authenticate. These are things that are written in the Bible, in the Word of God, which are true and reliable and trustworthy. And if any of these situations, Peter and his helpless speaker and his empty boat, the leper and his need of cleansing, the paralyzed man and his need of help to walk, if any of these things kind of apply to you and remind you of your sin that needs to be taken away, can I assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross, bearing the punishment and the load of your sin, is able and is willing and can change you and cleanse you and make you new and make you his own, so that you will become a witness for him and a worshipper of him and live a new life altogether and eventually find that God will take you safe home to heaven at last. Let's pray and then we'll sing a verse of a hymn. Father, we come at the end of our meeting and give thanks for everyone here who has listened. Give thanks for thy word we've been able to read from. Give thanks for the wonderful gospel message that we've been able to tell again. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt bless what we've said. Thou wilt bless what we've read. Pray thou wilt bless every individual here. Whatever be our need, thou knowest. We thank thee. Thou art more than able to meet every need we have. And so we now ask a blessing. And pray for thy good hand to be upon us in all that we do in the days ahead of us in thy will. And we ask thee to receive our thanks as we come this evening and thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ and for his death on the cross to save us. May we all trust him. May we all get to know him. May we all be able to rejoice in what he has done for us, all the things only he can do. And so we pray and we give thanks and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.